Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Adventure Girl, explore your world.
Live from City Center at White Plains, Westchester Talk Radio presents the 17th edition of Fran's World. This is Jim Cleefield speaking. Fran's World is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center. Hightower Westchester, your wealth is managed to a fiduciary standard. White Plains Hospital, exceptional every day. Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, the house that Service built, and Accorda Therapeutics.
Life, science.
You got it, Mixmaster Matt Cahan. And don't forget, please download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store of Westchester Talk. You can like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio, and you can follow us on Instagram. You can find us at Andrew C. Shark. And now the show starring the woman who really loves to talk. She lives in her world, and we're welcome to it. The fastest talking woman. It's Fran's World. And now here's your host, Fran Capo.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Matt. How you guys doing?
Yeah, good.
Oh, good. Well, welcome, audience, over here. We are live at City Center, and it looks beautiful in here with all the Christmas decorations, the holiday decorations, and we're getting ready for what is tomorrow? We're doing the Stuff-A-Truck.
It is, yeah. This year's going so quickly. Yeah, tomorrow and Sunday will be Stuff-A-Truck. We're going to be at Balducci's in Scarsdale tomorrow and at Rybrook on Sunday. Both days will be 10 to 4.
And people can come by and they can donate food that's going to go into the truck. That's the
name.
Stuff a truck. And that food gets sent to
people. Feeding Westchester is the one we work with.
Great. And so anyway, if you want to stop by, you want to get interviewed, stop by in Scarsdale and Rybrook.
Yes, I'll be there. We'll have a variety of hosts coming up this weekend.
Oh, perfect. So, okay, so we start with that. You guys had a good Thanksgiving?
I did.
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. Both of you. They just looked at me. They went, yeah, we did. They didn't say anything more. They fell asleep. They ate. That was it. I had to do cooking. Did you cook, Jim?
I actually did have to help you because actually we did our Thanksgiving one day earlier because the kids were not with us on Thursday, so, and I kind of helped with the cooking a little bit.
Oh, they did.
Well, I did. My stuffing actually came out pretty well this year.
Oh, well, I like that you say this year. I had gluten-free stuffing.
You do.
And let me tell you, gluten-free is not quite the same. Even though there are some things that are gluten-free that taste good, but not the stuffing. But luckily, we have a guest on who is going to talk to us. So she's really good in cooking and everything. But let me get to that in a minute. I just wanted to say, you know, my show Father and Father, it just won its 16th award, the film Father and Father.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Yes,
thank you. So we're very excited about that. Now we started working on a new script with Tom Renner and Mark Goldman, and we're going to be presenting that in festivals, obviously, after we write the script, because nothing could be done before that. I do want to tell you guys that I saw this really cool movie yesterday. It was called The Ballad of Billy Skaggs, and it's on Netflix, and it was fantastic. It was at the Museum of Moving Images, so if anybody is interested in seeing a new type of a film that's out there, that is a really cool one to see. It's like a ballad, and it's done by the Coen brothers, you know, those guys who always have those weird endings in all those films. Anyway, all right, we have once again a show that is packed with fantastic guests. So my first guest is Ellen Easton. She's an afternoon tea etiquette and lifestyle authority. In addition to her tea travels, writings as an author, columnist, and guest lecturer, she's a consultant for the hospitality, food, retail, and special events industry, specializing in corporate training, afternoon tea, menu planning, recipe development, and the design of related products, which clients have included the Waldorf Astoria. These are all fancy people, you know, the Plaza, Berdolf Goodman. And as an etiquette expert, Ellen has written articles in which sources in the British royal household confirmed that the information in her articles, they would not make any amendments to the text. And what a good article. Now, look, if you have the royal stamp of approval, you know she's good. So I've asked my good friend Ellen to come on the show today to talk about the do's and don'ts about how to be a good guest and host during the holiday season. And she's just going to give you a whole bunch of tips so you people look good when you show up at somebody's house or if you're hosting an event. Ellen, are you there?
I am here, Fran. Thank you for having me on your program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for stopping by and, you know, helping out our people so they don't look like they don't know what they're talking about when they, you know, go to somebody's house. But, Ellen, I want to give people a little bit of a background on what they should know about you, because they'd be like, well, what makes her a tea expert? So your interest in tea is inherited and dates back over two centuries. So just give the audience a little bit about your royal tea roots.
You mean my background?
Yeah, you know, about your ancestors,
so
Lewis.
In the early 1800s, my dead ancestors, who I never met, took tea plants from India and China to the colony of Ceylon after the coffee blight, and they started one of the first tea estates in Ceylon, which is now known as Sri Lanka. And because of those ancestors, another set of cousins were sent to New York to start a tea and coffee distribution company in Harlem, New York, called the National Urn Bag Company. And they invented the first industrial tea bag, not the one that Tom Sullivan did with the silk pouches, but the one that was used commercially. It looked like a diver dam suit. And then years later,
and that was in 1913.
That we all grew up with.
Yeah. That was in 1913.
Another set of cousins back in England were the Lord Mayors of London under Queen Victoria, a father and a son. So the genre of tea was handed down to me directly, you know, from generation to generation to generation.
This, and people don't know that, because obviously when they developed the industrial tea bag, it changed the unsanitary manner in which the packaged tea bags, using it by hand. So that changed it, and that's major. Because, you know, a lot of times back then people didn't even know, like, how viruses or anything were given to other people. So in this instance, the tea industry really was revolutionized by your ancestors. Now, bringing it up to date, your mom, Reva Paul, who was a doll. I loved your mom. I felt like I wish she could
thank
be.
Thank you. She loved you too.
Thank you. She was, and she actually, she was internationally acclaimed sugar artist, often in the media, was involved in the tea world for like five decades. And I have to say this, people, at my wedding, she had these sugar cubes that had little roses on them, and they were adorable. And they are sold like in Bertolf Goodman and all these high-end stores. And so we had them on the plate to the wedding. She's the one who introduced you to the tea. So let's get what our audience can get from you. Let's get some of the do's and don'ts of being a good guest.
Well, you know, now that we are at the beginning of what's going to be a very long holiday season, Hanukkah begins this weekend, and then we're going to go into all of the office parties and visiting company. We're going to go then into Christmas and New Year's and Russian New, you know, Christmas and New Year's. We have about a 6-week season this year. It's very long, and people get very overwhelmed. So I think if people could stop and say, I'm not going to be, you know, oh, it's so daunting, you know, what do I do and where do I go and what's right and what's wrong? I think if people take a deep breath and just stop to take a few basic common sense rules and not think of this as a pretentious endeavor, that etiquette is not meant to make people feel uncomfortable. Etiquette and protocol is the exact opposite. It's a form of communication. So that when people understand some of the ground rules, it actually relaxes the situation. So how do you be a good host? We live in a new world. You know, we're not in a paper world 100% anymore. We're all in cyberspace, or most are in cyberspace. So the old rules of, you know, versus instant communication, people think it doesn't apply. But it, regardless of whether you're doing electronic or paper, the rules apply.
Right.
Don't,
I mean,
just
even
bring it on the last minute. Oh, I'm having a party on Sunday. Are you coming? No,
right.
I'm not coming. I'm busy on Sunday. You have to give people notice. That is the first step of being a good host.
Okay, and also, like, let's talk about this. So you're a good host. You know, right now people have a lot of different food allergies, for example. You know, they're gluten, dairy, soy-free. Is being a good host also finding out, like, what your guests can eat and cannot eat?
Okay, this is a great question, Fran, because
you've
been to events that I've done, and you have seen some of the challenges that it takes when you're hosting an event. Yes, to be a good host, you should inquire of your guests in advance, please advise me of any food allergies that you may have. But there's a caveat to that. You know, you want to have a balanced menu. Today, food allergies does not mean food preferences.
Right. So if you dislike something, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, like,
it's just too bad. Eat at home before you get to the party.
Right. We're talking about, we don't want you to croak.
Serious health issues, whether you really require gluten-free foods, if you are diabetic and you can't have, you know, high refined carbs and sugar foods, peanut allergies, you know, these types of serious medical issues, yes, you have to inform your host.
Right, so at least you'll have something.
Your host should provide something that you can eat. But don't expect your host to change the entire menu for you.
Right. Now, the other thing, too, would be they're not going to change the entire menu, but at least have something there so that you don't have to have a whole bag that you're bringing yourself from, you know, from your house, you know, so they'll have something for you. Now, the other thing, too, is sometimes people, they're coming to your house and they'll go, oh, by the way, you know, three of my relatives are at my house. Is it all right for me to bring them over? And you're like, no, unless, you know, you have that kind of open party. I've actually had people say, can I bring my dog? I'm like, listen, this is not a pet kennel, for God's sakes. You know, yeah.
And there are reasons for that. You could be an avid pet lover. That doesn't mean you want somebody else's animal in your home for a sundry of reasons. You might have a guest who's allergic to that animal. That animal's going to leave its scent, and it might upset your own pets if you have them. You may not have any pets, but the animal is still going to leave a scent or have an accident. And these are not issues that a host should have to contend with while they're entertaining other people.
Right. So, I mean, it's so on the part of the guest, so it kind of intermingles. They shouldn't even ask. I mean,
Now,
if let's say somebody has somebody sleeping over their house and they're invited to the party, and because it's holiday times, their kids are visiting at their house and they say, hey, my kids are here. Is it proper protocol to say, do you mind if I bring my kids because they're at the house with me and I want to come to your party?
Okay, so that's like sort of a two-part question. If you are traveling with children, or if you live, even if you just have children, you're invited to an event, to somebody's home, and number one, you should really not ask to bring another guest or your children. But let's say you have a real house guest or you have your children or whatever. The proper thing to say in a nice way to your host is, you know, I would love to come to your party. However, I have so-and-so visiting me. Or, however, I have my children this weekend and I can't leave them alone. You know, if it's not a problem, you know, I'd be great to come if I could bring them along. But if it is a problem, which I would perfectly understand, if you're not prepared for that, you know, I have to decline your invitation, but keep me on your list and think of me again.
Right. Now, here's the other thing.
And you can't be insulted if your host says no.
Exactly.
But if the host says yes, you should offer to pay for the expense of your added guest. You should not expect your host to pick up the cost
of having other bit. Even if it's at their house?
Even if it's at their house.
Okay.
And if they can afford it, they may say, oh, thank you, that's okay, just come on over. But it could be an imposition. You don't know if they have a caterer per head. You don't know how much that extra food costs. You don't know if they're on a budget. They may need that extra $25, $50, or $100. That may make a difference to them.
Yeah. Now,
and they will let you know, so you should offer.
See, I always
decline.
Right. And I always, now, would this be, usually what I do, like I have this big birthday party that I do once a year, and I always say my party's up front. I say it's adults only, just invited guests unless there's a special situation. And then I also write no alcohol. I mean, in my particular parties, this is the type of stuff. So I let people know in advance. Now, on the other end, being a good guest, you know, my mom, you know, listen, I was raised in a very, you know, Italian, French, you know, Spanish household. And I was always told you never arrive to a person's house without bringing something. Is that still the case? Like, should you bring a cake? Should you bring fruit? Should you ask the host, is there something you need me to bring?
It depends on the type of affair. You know, it really depends on how formal the affair is to ask whether you need me to bring something, because they may actually want to serve something, and then you can bring something that complements their menu. So that would be okay. But if it's going to be a more formal sit-down dinner, you don't ask to bring something. You just bring something. But you do not expect it to be served at the party.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because the host, you know, may have already planned their menu, and they don't... They're not set up to serve what you brought. And that includes flowers. Don't expect them to put the flowers out. You know, if you bring a bouquet of flowers as a hostess gift, they may not have the
an
time
extra vase.
Preparing.
Right.
You know, they're not going to put your flowers out. It's a gift.
So in other words, don't get so sensitive if you bring something and they can't immediately put it on display.
Right, and don't expect them to. That's not what the gift is for. You know, if somebody's having a looser party, let's say a buffet, or it's a more family style, it's a looser event, and it's like, you know what, I'm going to make the turkey, but it would be great if you could make the green bean casserole, and you can make the sweet potatoes, and why don't you bring the pumpkin pie?
Right, so it makes
it... Okay, that's another way of entertaining.
Right. So now let me ask you. All right. So now we have the, you know, the basics. I also say what I do, a little trick, like if I am invited to sleep over somebody's house and you know how you have to make the bed and make it again, I always take a picture of the bed so that when I make it up the next morning, unless they say don't because we're going to be changing the sheets or whatever it's going to be, that I make it up exactly the way they have it because I have a picture of it.
That's a great idea.
So that's my way, because I'm like, I'm not going to remember how these 20 pillows go. I better take a picture of this. So I do that. Now let's move on, because I know that a lot of people have problems knowing how to set up the basic table. You know, like, do the knives go on the right? Do the forks go on the right? Where does the bread go? Where does the cup go?
You could not have asked a more timely question, Fran. I went to a museum in New York City last night to a reception for a tabletop exhibition.
Yeah.
And in one of the rooms, every table was set incorrectly.
Oh, my. And that was an exhibition?
Of course, that makes me crazy.
Yeah.
So a group of people, thank God I didn't have to open my mouth for a change. one of the other guests went over to the curator and said, excuse me, but why are all the tables set incorrectly? To which the woman replied, it's the new way. It's modern. It's the future.
In other words, I have no clue.
Said, no, it isn't. She goes, well, it's a design.
Oh, the design of let me teach you wrong?
There's a big difference between design and implementation of objects on a table. So now we're going back to it is not pretentious to set a table correctly.
So,
every item on a table is there for a reason. And that reason is not to drive someone crazy. It's to keep order at the table. How many times has somebody in your audience, myself included, gone to an event and somebody is eating the bread and butter off of your plate? Or they have now drunk the water out of your glass because they don't know which side belongs to them.
That's true. But they go, is this mine? Is this yours? And then you look at the lipstick and you go, oh, well, that's your lipstick color. That's got to be yours. Yeah.
Right. So that's really basic.
So let's keep
it. The plate goes in the middle.
Okay.
The napkin goes on the left. The fork, which has four letters, F-O-R-K, goes on the left.
L-E-F-T. Right. Fork, left.
The knife and the spoon has five letters. So does the word right, R-I-G-H-T. That makes it really simple to understand that the knife and the spoon go on the right, the fork goes on the left, the napkin goes on the left, or in the middle, on the top of the plate, not underneath the plate like some decorators do. Why not? Because when you sit down, you should not have to lift up a plate to get your napkin out, because you can knock over everything on the table. Everyone is not as graceful as the person sitting next to them.
Exactly. And that creates a whole other mess. Now, also, you told me a little trick to do with your hands. If you take your left hand and form your index finger with your thumb and put the three fingers up, that makes a B with your left hand, which means the breads are on the left. And
right, the bread and butter plate. Bread goes on the left. You make a B.
Right. And with the right hand, it's the same thing. You make the little circle with your index finger and your thumb and put your three fingers up, and your right hand makes a D, which means the drinks go on the right side.
Exactly.
So people...
And it's a really good visual, and it makes it really easy if you get confused. And it's that simple to set a table. And the blade of the knife always goes toward the plate, and the reason is it's not to do with design. It has to do that the dining table was set from etiquette over 250 years ago at the court of Versailles for right-handed people, because the majority rules. You can't have left and right. Lefties have to learn how to eat to accommodate a right-handed world. Otherwise, you have people knocking into each other, and again, they don't know what they're supposed to use. So the blade of the knife goes in towards the plate so that when you go to pick it up, you do not cut your hand.
So, guys, I hope that you learned a whole bunch of quick tips that you could get. And obviously, the last thing, because we got to wrap up here, is that you send, it used to be handwritten thank you notes. Now, at least if you do an email or a text message, but do it within 24 hours. That Ellen taught me. And
that's right.
And what I want to say is, if you want to find out more, and Ellen also has fantastic recipes. She's got cookbooks out. She's got tea etiquette books. She's available for speaking engagements. And for consulting, you could go to whatscookingamerica.net. whatscookingamerica.net. You could read her articles and find out more information about her. And Ellen, is there another way that they could contact you if they wanted to hire you for, you know, consulting or for etiquette?
They can contact you and you can contact me.
Oh, there you go, folks. So then you just go to FranCapo at FranCapo.com and you get in touch with me, and I'll get you in touch with Ellen. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Ellen, for being a fantastic guest and hopefully making everybody feel more comfortable when they go to parties. We'll be back with more Fran's World right after this commercial message.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about four decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community, as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit safesecurevital.com.
Can't believe you were just a kid. Stop the draft as a...
And we're back, Fran's World, here live at City Center. And we, of course, we're produced by Shark Creative and made possible by our fantastic sponsors, Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Wartburg, Genesis Exhibits, Facelift Remodeling, and White Plains YMCA. And guys, when you get a chance, if you get a chance, don't forget to stop by tomorrow at the Stuff-It Truck. And that's going to be in Scarsdale tomorrow between 10 and 4. And then on Sunday, 10 and 4. four in Rybrook at Balladucci's. And so just come by if you want to, you know, talk on air, if you want to just help out by bringing a couple of cans of food, do that. That'll be fantastic, because not everybody is always so lucky to have food readily available as we all do. So, continuing right along, and now in the spirit of the holiday season and also wanting to give back, my next guest is a retired MTA NYC Transit Art Director. Yes, he's the guy responsible for the artwork you'd see in the subway cars in New York, and you're like, I didn't know somebody had that job. He's also a cartoonist, a caricaturist who lives in Florida. He recently recorded two original tunes, I Never Got to Serve, about the Vietnam War, and Taps, about World War II. He's donating these songs to the U.S. military and is working on getting these songs known and played worldwide for the military to enjoy. The songs are recorded under the name Mad Fog, which with a well-known local musician named Stick Martin. The CD is known as Mad Fog Music. It contains 20 songs that include rock, country, R&B, reggae, eclectic, gospel, and it includes the above-mentioned songs. So, we're gonna interview him, find out about these songs, and so, first, Cliff, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
No problem. And, you know, you're calling us all the way there from sunny Florida, and we had snowflakes here in the morning. So, again, that's why people go to Florida. But now, so let's just get a quick background here. What does an art director do for the MTA? I mean, what campaigns did you work on, like Poetry in Motion or what?
Yes, I'm a retired art director. I did work on Poetry in Motion, which is a worldwide well-known activity that was up in the subway to give the passengers a respite from the daily grind of being on the subway trains. And it also recently just celebrated its 25th anniversary of that program. So it's been very, very successful and ongoing.
That has to feel good to know something you created is still going on 25 years later. That's awesome.
Yes, and I've been very fortunate that they've used some of the pieces that I've done. They even included some in the exhibit that was just on. So I was very grateful to find that out.
Yeah, and now I know Cliff for a while because he and I worked on an adventure game once. It was called Frantastic Adventures, and we used your artwork. We had a blast designing that. Now, moving along, so now you're in Florida, and you were inspired to do these songs for the military and the other songs, but let's concentrate on the military songs. What was your inspiration for the songs? Were you in the military? Even though one of your songs is I Never Got to Serve.
Yeah, what happened is that I it's true, I never did get to serve. They stopped the draft the time I was eligible. But as I got older, I got a little smarter, and I wanted to pay homage back to the veterans to thank them for what they did. When I was young, I didn't really appreciate that. So the two songs take care of two different periods. There's really going to be three, but right now there's two that are going to be doing World War II and then the Vietnam War. And it kind of tells a story on each one of them about what goes on and what went on, and my thanks for the fact that they did this and they served. So I really want to reach out to politicians, the military brass, celebrities, recording artists, anybody that can help me get the word out that I'm donating these two, we are donating these two songs to the military, and I want to get it out to as many veterans and military people as possible. So I know being on this show is going to help that goal, and I'm very, very grateful to have you allow me to do that. And also that, you know, I'm very happy about the success you have had with the movies, Father, and all your comedy stuff, and your books, and it's always been great to be associated on occasion with you slightly, and do some great projects. So we even did a book thing at one point in time. So it's really kind of cool.
Yeah, because creation is creation. Because once you have it inside you, you always want to be able to do it, and also hopefully your creations have a message that reached people. And in this instance, they do. Now I listened to those two songs. I Never Got to Serve, and what I thought was cool was, you weren't only saying it from your point of view, but from anybody who might not have understood what actually our men and women are doing. People always say thank you for your service, but they don't necessarily, they just say the words. Do they understand how much people give up? They don't see their families. They don't see, you know, newlyweds don't see each other. You know, their mothers, their fathers are constantly worried. How are they? The kids are worried. Is daddy okay? Is mommy okay? And they don't realize that at the end of your songs, you actually put in statistics of how many men and women, you know, died in the Vietnam War, in the, you know, World War II and things like that, for people to really understand the numbers and not just say, thank you for your service. Thank God they came home. But sometimes they come home and they're not necessarily in the same mental frame that they were when they left. And especially during the holiday times, as here at Westchester Talk Radio, we're doing our stuff to raise, you know, stuff a food truck, but we also do things, stuff a Scarsdale truck, because we're trying to feed people in the community. But also, you know, you want to be able to give back to people who might have been doing it, you know, more widespread. So, Cliff, just in the few minute we have left, if you could just tell people how they could get in touch with you hear
that's
the CDs.
What I'd like to do. One of the things is that they can call me at 347-968-0349, and the first 25 callers that call, I will give them the military CD. I will send it out to them if they provide information to me. And also, the first 25 callers who call in about the music CD, which contains these two songs, they are on sale, but I will give the first 25 people a free copy if they will call me at, again, 347-968-0349. And if they can email me at Militello, it's M-I-L-I-T-E-L-L-O, Clifford, C-L-I-F-F-O-R-D, at yahoo.com. And I'd appreciate it. Anybody pitching in, helping in any way that they can, if you have a contact, if you have somebody that can help me help to get the word out. And that's really what I want to do, and I want to give back and appreciate what I have to celebrate and enjoy. I wouldn't be able to be me if it wasn't for them, and that's the important message.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Cliff, and hopefully people will take you up on your offer. Hey, Cliff, you're giving people the wrong number. Your phone number is 347-968-0341. People, forget what he's saying. The number is 347-968-0341. Guys, we'll be right back. You're listening to Fran's World here live at Westchester. Where are we? At City Center. Okay, at City Center. In White Plains. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll be right back. Bye-bye.
Contractors, can't find the construction equipment you need?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. Durante Rentals has it all, from skid steers to cement mixers, light towers to mini excavators, generators to scissor lifts. Our equipment is always available and always well-maintained.
Are you worried about employee downtime due to equipment delivery delays?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. At Durante Rentals, on-time delivery of your construction equipment is our priority.
Is your job site located in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. With 7 metro area locations, Durante Rentals has got you covered.
Do you want to be treated as more than just a number?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. As a family-owned business, customer service has always been Durante Rentals' number one priority.
Are you looking to save time and money on your next construction project?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. The friendly and knowledgeable staff at Durante Rentals makes renting equipment easy and affordable.
With locations in Mount Vernon, the Bronx, West Nyack, Flushing, Queens, Carmel, Elmsford, and Brewster, call Durante Rentals at 1-800-DURANTI or click DuranteRentals.com.
Durante Rentals, the most dependable name in construction equipment rentals, sales, parts, and service. Call 1-800-DURANTI today. News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Adventure Girl, explore your world.
And we're back. Okay, Fran's World. It is crazy here today. There are people going all around. We have basketball. whoa, we have basketball that's going on the side. We're promoting the stuff and truck. A lot of crazy things happening here. All right, so our last guest today is going to be talking about how to ignite your passion. He's on the line right with me now. His name is Ron Mitchell. JD, MBA, is a critically acclaimed life-changing author, world-renowned Ignite coach, speaker, veteran, and educator. He's a relentless advocate, philanthropist, okay, I can never say that word, an entrepreneur I met and former business school professor at many universities, including Georgetown and D.C. He recently spoke at the University in Pennsylvania about how diversity in action can fuel growth and ignite high performance. Ron has put together a new women's empowerment tour called Ignite Her Conferences that is touring the world starting in May 2019. I asked Ron to come on to talk today, how to ignite your passion for 2019 and beyond, a great gift to fuel your new year. Now, I realize we didn't even have the holidays yet, but you start thinking now what you want to do. So, Ron, first of all, I don't know if you heard our previous guest, Cliff. He's got songs that he's dedicating to the military, and I wanted to thank you personally because you are a veteran, so I wanted to thank you for your service. I always like to acknowledge veterans who selfishly give their time to protect our country. So, that's first all, but let's dig right into why you're here. I want to tell people, how'd you get the idea for the Ignite Her conferences? I mean, who's like the target audience for these conferences?
Well, thank you, Frank, for having me on. It's always exciting to talk about the conference and just people in general. Well, the reason why we are doing Ignite Her conferences is because why not?
Good point.
Considering the climate in America and across the world and the challenges that we have with equality and diversity, inclusion, and belonging, I thought it'd be very, very important to develop a vehicle that will bring people together, in particular women, helping to ignite the fire within women in our community and drive the human spirit. And of course, like you, my mother is a woman. We owe a great debt to the awesome women who have nursed and molded and shaped us as human beings, as individuals, and helped to develop American world as we know her today. So I owe a great debt, and you do, and all of us, to our mothers and to women who have helped lead in the charge. And that's part of the passion and excitement we have about the conference that's touring America and the world to help women have to overcome barriers and focus on having phenomenal breakthroughs. And so that's really what the conference is all about.
Right. So now, for example, I'm one of the speakers in Baltimore in 2019, in May of 2019, and like I'm going to be speaking on how to have a world record mindset. And basically what that is to be able to overcome obstacles, and no matter what gets in your path, to know how to, you know, you fall down 7 times, get up 8, and it doesn't matter, you know. All right, so, you know, a denial is, you know, a delay is not a denial. You just keep on. And the conferences, it's cool because it's not like people, you know, oh, I can't make it because this one's here. The conferences are all over. Like the 2019 conferences are going to be held in D.C., Philly, Houston, Chicago, California, Atlanta, and then in 2020, they're going abroad, right, Ron?
Absolutely. Well, not only in 2020, we're going to a number of places, and I think you talked about from Philly to Houston, Chicago, and
right.
to Dubai, to London, to Frankfurt, Germany, to Singapore,
Toronto, Montreal,
and Charlotte, North Carolina. So it's a lot of places that we are touring the world and helping to reach new heights and support women in a very, very innovative way, but more importantly, fueling high-performance women and from different walks of life which I believe will certainly improve our communities and government agencies in corporate America.
Well, you know, see, the other thing, too, is women have a different way of communicating than guys do. I mean, we all like to say, oh, everybody's the same, but they're not. And so the thing is, because everybody's got a different way of thinking or looking at things, that's what actually enhances, you know, brands and things getting bigger, because everybody is giving their own ideas to something which can help it grow. Now, for the audience, so they can walk away with something, what would be four tips that you could give someone to accomplish their goals in 2019?
Well, one is clarity. I think in order to achieve your goal, you have to be clear on what you want to have and what you want to do. And that's why clarity is important. Spending some time alone determining who you are, where you are, where you're trying to go. Giving yourself just that clarity can fuel and push you in the right direction.
Absolutely. Wait, let me just say this for people to really hear what he's saying here. Because you could say, I want to make more money, and someone can hand you a dollar. Are you going to be happy? No. You have to have in your mind, this year I would like to make $10,000. I would like to make $20,000 more. You have to have what your goal is. It's just like getting in a car, going on a trip, and going, I want to go somewhere. No, you usually have a destination. You map it out. You figure out how to get there. So the clarity is so important, because otherwise, how do you know you get there? You know, again, you know, you have to be careful what you put out to the universe. So what's your second tip?
And my second step, of course, is decide. Now, once you determine, it is up to decide, make a decision, and become committed to that decision. And when you become committed to that decision, you have to take action. You got to follow through with the decision. In other words, sometimes in life, we make a commitment to do certain things, like to find a new job in 2019 or go back to graduate school or to get married. Make a commitment, and along the way, things happen, and we lose that commitment. So I always think that we have to not only make the commitment, become recommitted to that commitment and take action. Because when we take action and we follow through with that decision, that is when we begin to make progress and take steps forward to achieving our goal, or to ensuring that the vision becomes a magic word, and that's called a reality.
Right, because it's one thing to just say, I have this great idea. It's another thing to execute the idea. So you have to do it, like lose weight. Oh, I want to lose weight. Meanwhile, you're stuffing your face with cake and cookies, and you're like, I don't understand why I'm not losing weight. Well, you know, let's be realistic, people, because you just ate three boxes of cookies. So you have to have in your mind, you know, what it is you want, and to take the action that fits, that parallels what you've decided to do. So what's your third tip?
And the third tip is notice. Pay attention to what you're doing. If what you're doing is not working for you, then guess what? Model something or someone that is doing it better than you. They're not going to be doing it well. You must know and determine what you're supposed to be doing at all times. It's very important. Just figure out, look, I'm going left, and it's not happening. Well, guess what? Laura is doing it the way I envision, so I'm going to model my approach, change my strategy to do it that way. And in order to do that, what's really important is that we have to be flexible, because sometimes you have made up your vision to do for things to happen exactly the way you envision. Step one is this, it's step two, this is step three, this is step four. And guess what? And sometimes in this life, in this wonderful life we live in, things just don't happen the way you envision all the time. So that's why it's very important to have to be flexible at all times, because sometimes implementing a different approach can still get you to where you're trying to go and ensure that that dream, of course, becomes reality.
That is so true, because what happens is people get stuck. No, I need to ride on this road. And then, well, maybe that road is, you know, got a couple of potholes and you got to go around the block to get to your goal. You could still get there. You just have to be flexible and not say, no, this is the way I need to do it. I'm not switching. It's like, people, be flexible. So, again, the four tips would be clarity, make a decision, and once you make that decision, follow up on your actions. And then after the actions, you have to be able to be take notice of what you're doing. And if it's not working, change it. And the change comes about by being flexible and being willing to be open to getting to your goal in a moral way, whatever you need to do.
Absolutely. Last but not least, the last step is outcome. Know what you determine the outcome. Sometimes we do things and we don't know what we want the outcome to be. I think it's very important to determine what you want from the process. It's like people go to college, 4 years of college, or go back to grad school, or whatever it may be, and unfortunately, they don't know what they're paying for, whether you really want out of the process, because sometimes the process is painful. It's time-consuming. It takes a lot out of you emotionally, mentally, physically, psychologically, and, of course, spiritually. So if you're going to go through the process, at least have an idea of what you want.
Because it has to be worth, yeah, it has to be worth all your time and effort that are going into it. Now, if people want to find out about or sign up to go to one of the conferences, they can go to Ignite, I-G-N-I-T-E, her, like, you know, her, Ignite Her Conferences with an S, igniteherconferences.com, and all the tours for 2019 and 2020 are up there. It makes a great holiday gift. I mean, what better gift than a gift of knowledge that could last a lifetime, and meeting and networking with people who have maybe have already achieved where you want to be, and you could get pointers and ask questions. And then there's that camaraderie with other people, that like-minded people. So I would recommend that people go check out igniteherconferences.com. And Ron, you're going to be one of the speakers there as well, correct?
Well, absolutely. I will be one of the speakers at the conference, helping to fuel the human spirit and ignite passion, and more importantly, getting everybody fired up about listening to what you have to talk about, Brandon, some of our other dynamic speakers
right.
will be featured across the tour. So needless to say, I'm fired up, I'm excited, I'm very excited as always. And what a 2019 that we can look forward to.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ron, for being on the show. Thank you guys for listening in. And remember, check out that new social media website, unfollowunfollow.com. If you're looking for limited data collection, be social without worrying, and protect your privacy, check out unfollow.com. And tomorrow, don't forget to check out Stuff a Truck in Scarsdale at the Bellucci's Food Emporium in Scarsdale from 10 to 4, and on Sunday in Rybrook from 10 to 4. Bring canned foods, get interviews, and thanks again to Matt, Jim, and Andrew. And don't forget to check out FranCapo.com. That's me. As a stocking stuffer, I have autographed books of Hopeville, the City of Light. It happened in New York, happened in Jersey, happened in Pennsylvania. Any one of my 21 books make great stocking stuffers. You can get them at FranCapo.com. And we'll be back the last Friday of December, December 28th. Wishing you a happy, healthy holiday. And remember to laugh. Remember to laugh and enjoy life. Live every day as if it's your last, and one day you'll be right, and you want to make sure that every day counts. You create your own destiny. Make it a good one. Fran Capo signing out here live at City Center.
Shark, Shark Creative.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.
Shark Creative.